sermonette today, I thought of using, and it's in conjunction with the sermon I'll be giving as well, because I do think in terms of not only the sermonette, but the sermon when I have both to give in a particular day. This is a particular piece of terminology which we use on a regular basis, and we use it in regard to all of God's holy days. We are here right now, for example, on one of God's holy days. We may think about the high holy days distinctively different from the Sabbath day, but in Leviticus 23, we find it included there with God's holy days. These are my feasts, it says there. And so what we use, the terminology we use, the word that we use is feast. And we talk about going to the feast to keep the feast. We talk about Days of Unleavened Bread as feast. We talk about the Day of Atonement as a feast. And that's maybe counterintuitive, isn't it? Because on the Day of Atonement, you don't eat at all. In fact, you don't drink either. You neither eat nor drink for that 24-hour period of time. But we call it a feast. We call those feast days. Why do we do those kinds of things? Days of Unleavened Bread, we don't eat any of the normal bread products that we do. So we're kind of deprived, at least to a certain extent, during the Days of Unleavened Bread. But we call that the Feast of Unleavened Bread. Why do we do that? So this sermonette, and for the Slatteries, this being their first time at a service, we have a format here where we have like a 15-minute sermonette. We have announcements. You've seen already the song leading and getting a hope to know a little bit of the songs that you may find quite different than any you've ever experienced in attending a different church. But we are here using the word feast, and we use it in regard to the weekly Sabbath, but more particularly in regard to the holy days, some of which are, as I say, maybe a little bit counterintuitive. Why do we call them feasts? Maybe Mr. Mabry Jackson could answer that question for me. Why do we call them feasts? Put him on the spot there. Okay. I'll give you a little bit of information here. Maybe you'll be able to answer that question the next time. Leviticus chapter 23 and verse 1. I think this is the primary place that we would go to find the word feast used in regard to the holy days, some of the other occasions that are there, and the weekly Sabbath. The chapter is introduced in verse 1. Comes from the highest authority. The Lord spoke unto Moses. So that's what it tells us in verse 1. This is not Moses making this up. This is the Lord speaking to Moses. And the Lord spoke to Moses, and he said, "Speak to the children of Israel, and say to them, concerning the feasts of the Lord, which you shall proclaim to be holy convocations." What do we mean by a holy convocation? Well, we are here today with a holy convocation. We come together and we worship on these occasions. The ones in particular that are mentioned here throughout Leviticus 23. Concerning the feast of the Lord, which you shall proclaim to be holy convocations, like Sabbath services, even these are, it says, my feasts. You see that there, Jack? These are my feasts, it says. The Bible refers to all of these days as my feast. But that's a question maybe we should ask. Should we understand a little bit more? Is there more to understand about this? When it says, my feast, that's a piece of terminology, but, you know, it's a translated word. It's not the original word. In fact, all of the words virtually in the Bible are words that are translated. And the original word that was used here is not something that would necessarily mean feast. The word is moed. And moed means a number of different things. A very big word in the Bible. Sometimes it's translated as feast. Sometimes it's translated as assemblies. Sometimes it's translated as appointments. Brant has a dental office, and people come there with an appointment. A lot of them aren't particularly looking forward to an appointment with the dentist, but there is a time when they have to come there, and the dentist comes there and takes care of that. We had an appointment at the dental office, not with Bryant, last Monday, and the Slattery's came there. They met us halfway. They live in Walton, and that's about an hour the other side of Binghamton, or northeast of Binghamton. And so we met them. We had an appointment. We went there at the same time. They were there a little bit before we were, but it was an appointment. So another way to translate this word would be, these are my appointments. I have established this time for you to keep, and I will be observing it, and you observe it with me. It's an appointed time. It is not just a time for eating and drinking and having enjoyment. Now, I'll be talking about eating and drinking and so forth during the sermon. But this word moed conveys the sense of an appointment for religious purposes. Strong's Concordance and Vine's Expository of Hebrew and Greek words say this word is never used for anything else except a religious occasion. Even though it's a very big word in the Bible, translated in many different ways throughout the Bible, translated at times as seasons. Now we think of seasons, we're approaching the season of fall here. We have the spring season, and sometimes when it's used in the Bible, it's translated as seasons. So there's a lot to know underlying this word. But yet we say it is a feast. A feast is a time of eating and drinking, isn't it? In fact, it is a special time of eating and drinking. Well, why would the translators use that at various times? Why would they translate it that way when they could have chosen so many different words to translate it into? Here's one of the reasons. Before very long, another 3 weeks, is it? We'll be going to what we call the Feast of Tabernacles. And the Feast of Tabernacles is really a place where we're given very specific instructions that we are to eat, to drink, rejoice, and to have happiness. We are to be picturing what is going to happen on the face of the entire earth before too much longer. A time of abundance and prosperity for all of mankind. And we have the responsibility to help bring that about on this earth. So right now, we can't bring it about, but we are to observe it at the appointed time, the time that God has appointed for this to be done. And we are to eat and drink because that is what is ultimately being pictured for all of mankind. There's not going to be starvation. There's not going to be hunger. There's not going to be deprivation. There's not going to be all the difficulties that human beings have experienced for the last 6,000 years. Deuteronomy 12 and verse 17. We are to keep a feast. This is about keeping the Feast of Tabernacles, going to keep it. You may not eat. Wait a minute. I thought we were going to talk about eating and drinking. Well, it says you have to save something at home. Don't eat that which you have all year. Save a tithe of it. You may not eat within your gates the tithe of your corn, your wine, or your oil. Now, they were in an agricultural society, so they were actually producing and banking these things. 10% of it, they were not to eat at their home. Or the first things of your herds or flocks, nor any of your vows which you vow, nor your freewill offerings, heave offerings of your hand. You must eat them before the Lord your God. Time of eating and drinking. This is clearly a time of feasting and rejoicing. And so this sort of sets a tone for what the translators were looking at and thinking about with these religious occasions. Maybe it isn't the best chosen word, but it is a way of expressing the rejoicing and the abundance, at least that are coming to pass in the fall holy days. You must eat them before the Lord your God in the place which your God shall choose. You, your son, your daughter, your manservant, your maidservant, the Levite which is within your gates, and you shall rejoice before the Lord your God in all that you put your hands to. So it's a time of eating physically, but it's a time of rejoicing. Why do we rejoice at the Feast of Tabernacles? Why does it demand that? It says commanded rejoicing. We wouldn't think we need to be commanded to rejoice, would we? It says you shall rejoice. Why is it so important to God that we rejoice? Because we are picturing and looking at and thinking about what's going to happen throughout the face of the whole earth and how the condition that mankind is experiencing is going to be changed from that time over. It is a time of rejoicing when you think about what we are doing there, what we are picturing. But it's also a feast, not just of physical things. We have two kinds of food. Right now, you're sitting there receiving spiritual food. The Word of God. And you're absorbing that. When we finish, God, interestingly enough, makes things very consistent in that way. We're also going to have a very nice time of eating on this Sabbath day, this weekly Sabbath day. And God connects the two together in most cases. He doesn't own atonement. He doesn't maybe, at least with one product during the days of unleavened bread. There's a particular point to those occasions. Normally he's connecting up physical food and spiritual food. When you come for an assembly, a holy convocation before God, God is preparing for us, me included. I mean, I'm not preparing it for you. We expect that God is preparing it. I am probably the biggest beneficiary of it because I get to spend a little more time. If you're speaking, you probably are the biggest beneficiary of the food that you are delivering. But the food is from God. So it's consistent in that way. So we have spiritual food and we have physical food. And God wants us to be feasting every day, enjoying the spiritual benefits and the feeling of fullness spiritually that we have on every one of His holy occasions. Spiritual food is to be served at all times. Unleavened bread, we serve spiritual food there, a special kind of spiritual food then, don't we? Day of Atonement, no physical food then, none. Not even any water, nothing to drink, but spiritual food. Really, really important spiritual food. So why do we call these feast days? God matches physical enjoyment with spiritual purpose. Partly because it's been translated that way. Maybe we could choose some other way to translate the word, and I probably have about 40, 50 of them here that I printed out from Strong's Concordance, and all the different ways the word could be translated. But we call it Feast of God, I would say most of all, because it is consistent with the purpose of God for mankind.